Huh? Is that?
You ought to get some points for that.
I ought to get some righteousness.
I'm probably going to get beat up here. Get this week started.
His mother's trash cans were empty, so he came back.
That's the reason.
Oh, Ecclesiastes, chapter 10. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. We studied Haggai and all of that the last few times. Let's go to Isaiah 22. Burden of the Valley of Vision. What aileth thee now, that thou art wholly gone up to the housetops? Thou that art full of stirs and tumultuous, and a tumultuous city, a joyous city, thy slain men are not slain with the sword, nor dead in battle. All thy rulers are fled together, they are bound by the archers. All that are found in thee are bound together, which have fled from far. Therefore said I, look away from me. I will weep bitterly. Labor not to comfort me, because the spoiling of the daughter of my people. For it is a day of trouble, and of treading down, and of perplexity, by the Lord God of hosts in the valley of vision, breaking down the walls and of crying to the mountains. And Elam bare the quiver with chariots of men and horsemen, and Kerr uncovered the shield. And it shall come to pass that thy choicest valley shall be full of chariots, and the horsemen shall set themselves array at the gate. And he discovered the covering of Judah, and thou didst look in that day to the armor of the house of the forest. You have seen also breaches of the city of David, that they are many. And you gathered together the waters of the lower pool. And you have numbered the houses of Jerusalem, and the houses have you broken down to fortify the wall. You made also a ditch between the two walls for water of the old pool, but you have not looked unto the maker thereof, neither had respect unto him that fashioned it long ago. And in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning, and to baldness, and to girding with sackcloth. And behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till you die, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, what does all that mean? It means that the sign of trouble, when it should have been the valley of vision, you took all of the steps protect, to guard, to make you dwell safely, when you should have looked to the God of hosts who made them all. And the implication is that the slothfulness of no faith cannot be fixed by activity. The lusts, this iniquity shall not be purged from you till you die. It can't be any other way. Have you ever stopped and thought about, well, we've talked about it, but not for a long time. Every single time that a woman is in season, at least how many eggs are formed each month? Just one?
Uh-huh.
One egg. Every time a male ejaculates, there's somewhere between 50 and 150 million sperm cells.
Right.
Huh? That's not good.
Joke.
So stop and think about the odds of you being you. Only once a month did your mother have, was the egg present. And every, who knows what your sexual activity of your father was. But it was somewhere between 50 and 150 million sperm cells every single time. What are the odds that you became you? And you take all of that and the odds that you became you, but finally one of those sperm cells entered the egg and lost its identity. And you were formed in the belly of your mother, in the womb of your mother. And then you were born. Then what happened? Think about what took place. You were born from God's standpoint, innocent. But then at some point along the path, normally about 18 months, you became aware of yourself. And then once self-awareness happened, then this whole process began. You learned that certain sounds that you could make brought you comfort. You learned that certain sounds that you could make would get your mother's attention. And slowly but surely then you learned more. You learned how to codify those grunts and sounds and sounds that you could make somehow. You learned that in the society that you were in, those sounds meant something. And then you had to, whatever society you grew up in, then you had to learn by rote, slowly but surely, that each one of those sounds that you could make somehow had a meaning, but everybody in that society had to agree that those sounds had that meaning. Just stop and think about it. And then you learned that you could, like if you're Fiona, you can't stop writing letters, but when you write, she's writing letters to her dad, and they're just a bunch of marks. But slowly but surely, she's learning how to make those marks mean what her word says to others. And so again, every society is different. So you have to have some kind of an agreement among the entire society that these grunts and groans and sounds would mean a thing, and then you had to come to the agreement that these little scribbles would mean the thing. And so here you are. You're an incredible accident of an accident to the 150 millionth power. And slowly but surely then you had to learn by some kind of an agreement in the society that all these little words and grunts and sounds meant something, and those had to be cemented in your mind. And so slowly but surely, you learned what was necessary for you to survive. And by definition, everything that you did had to move towards that self-realization. Now, you don't have a choice, right? All of us went through that. Every person that has ever been born went through that. And I've said before that it was a conspiratorial alliance in the society that you were in, that those grunts and groans would mean and those little wiggles on the paper would mean that. And then we get the Bible. Or then we, whatever, for whatever reason. Then we, so we have this whole structure that we've learned that's unique to our society. And then we come, for some reason, something went wrong, and we decide, aha, I've been doing it wrong. Now God is going to help me do whatever this little hunk of protoplasm was going to try to do. You understand? So, but we all continue on a path, even though we've accepted Buddha or Jesus or whatever, whoever the God or Allah, then we have another whole structure that we're all trying to fit all of these things we've learned into that structure. Do you see anything wrong with that? Can you see maybe that the words, that maybe it's possible that the iniquity shall not be purged from you until you die? And God in His mercy tried everything else. He tried giving, you know, He tried to, hopefully, that just by the nature it would come. And what happened? Then the fall came. Then he tried, well, we'll have this other way. We'll have the just general law, the Noachian law. And then what happened? And the massive idolatry and the flood came. Then he'd have a perfect family. He tried to show the rest of us by selecting one family to be the picture. And what happened? Then he gave a perfect law. You know what happened? Then he sent prophets. You know what happened? And none of them worked. None of them worked. Nothing worked because we have this endemic system because of the fall for self-seeking, and every society has its own twist on it. So finally, God comes and says, this iniquity cannot be purged until you die. Now, what happened then? God sent His only Son. We killed Him.
I know this isn't even Christianity 101, but we're not saying that God is a being in time and is trying to figure out what He's doing, and His first experiment didn't work, so then He improved it the second time and changed it the third time and is keeping on tinkering with it until He finds a way that'll work, right?
No.
We're saying that God is God and knows exactly what He's doing long before He did it, and He just breathed one syllable and it came out perfect.
Right.
And what we are going through is what we're supposed to go through. It is the perfect way to accomplish His design in time.
Right.
Okay. Because I was getting real uncomfortable.
But His perfect design in time was culminated not by what was made in time, not by what was fashioned even by Him in time. We were made from the dust of the earth. His Son was made from the dust of the earth, but the Father was from eternity. So it's a totally different, He's a different species, a different thing. And then by His grace, He gave you the capacity to do the same thing. But you have to, the iniquity cannot be purged until you die. Now, it's so hard to understand this. It's so hard to see it because we don't have any other way except by all of these tricks we learned to make no sounds and understand squiggles to understand the mystery. That's why the iniquity cannot be seen or understood or purged until you die, until you've seen the end of all human effort.
Sloth is to stop short of that.
Right.
In any way, and then you try and do something else.
Right. The sloth, you remember, the opposite, if the goal of time and space is love, from God's perspective, the opposite of love isn't hate, the opposite of love is sloth. And sloth simply says, I'm lukewarm about this, I can survive another few days if I do this, or if I do that, then this might not happen, and whatever. You don't fully comprehend that the mystery of death, and so you try to die, and so you run around, and now you've created another mantra by words that you learned to try to fix it, and so you can. I'm crucified with Christ. Whatever it is, whatever. What's gained to me is lost to Christ. Whatever, all of the scriptures you make into a mantra to try not to die.
For in them you think you find principles of eternal life.
Right. Jesus said it in John 5:39. He said, you search the scriptures. For in them you think you find principles of eternal life. But they are they that testify only of me, and you won't come unto me. That's why I make fun of Trish all the time and her truth-seeking, because you can't get there from here. I would that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, sloth, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You love the twilight more than you love the light, because in the twilight, you still have the opportunity to go through these little games. You can compare. You can justify. That's why I keep telling you, and I'm not sure I've been able to get the right words across, but Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh. But he was only justified in the Spirit. And as he is in the world, so are we. We cannot be justified in the flesh. Our very existence has no justification. Our next breath has no justification. And so every time we try to get something to prove to ourselves that we believe, we are trying to justify ourselves in the flesh. But this is so... It's the fish trying to describe water. And the only way that this can be seen is you have to reach the state of hopelessness. And that's what he's done to all of us. 1,000,000 times we are wearied in the greatness of our way, but we say not there is no hope. We find the life of our own hand again. And that's what we do with God stuff. We try to find the life of our own hand by using God stuff, or using the doctrine, or using Jesus Christ, or using the Bible. But this really is remedial Christianity. This isn't deep. This isn't some arcane philosophy. This is something everybody knows if they stop and considered. You know that you're an invention of an invention. You know you've created yourself. Now, the reason this gets pretty heavy in Ecclesiastes is because we're nearing the end of the book. And each verse intensifies this understanding of the vanity of our own system of being. Not vanity like you like to look in a mirror, but the emptiness, the fruitlessness, the hopelessness of this system of thought, of the rational, what we think is, it because we don't take it to the end. And so we live in Never Never Land. we live in Michael Jackson's little, what is that called? Never Neverland?
What
Neverland? And so therefore we have to keep fighting the same battles over and over. Let's go to Ezekiel 24.
That is kind of an interesting parable, the theme park, where we all have our own theme park, where we're all the merry-go-rounds and our own roller coasters.
Well, that's what Shakespeare said.
And there's a pervert running out.
Ezekiel,
Shakespeare
24.
Yes, all the stage here, but players on it.
Exit stage left.
Exunit.
Is that your question,
Jesus?
I was thinking of Snagglepuss the
Long. Oh, okay. I'm sorry, where are we going in Ezekiel?
Ezekiel 24. I wonder why it didn't make any sense, because I was in Jeremiah 24. I needed Ronnie. Again, in the ninth year, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, write thee the name of the day, even of this same day. The king of Babylon set himself against Jerusalem this same day, and utter a parable unto the rebellious house, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, set on a pot, set it on, and also pour water into it, and gather the pieces thereof into it, even every good piece, the thigh and the shoulder, fill it with the choice bones. Take the choice of the flock, and burn also the bones under it, and make it boil well, and let them see the bones of it therein. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God, Woe to the bloody city, to the pot whose scum is therein, and whose scum is not gone out of it. Bring it out piece by piece, let no lot fall upon it, for her blood is in the midst of her. She set it upon the top of a rock, she poured it not upon the ground to cover it with dust, that it might cause fury to come upon it, to take vengeance. I have set her blood upon the top of the rock, that it should not be covered. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Woe to the bloody city! I will even make the pile for the fire great. Heap on wood, kindle a fire, consume the flesh, spice it well, and let the bones be burned. Then set it empty upon the coals thereof, that the brass of it may be hot and may burn, and that the filthiness of it may be molten in it, and that the scum of it may be consumed. She hath wearied herself with lies, and her great scum went not forth out of her. Her scum shall be in the fire. In thy filthiness is lewdness, because I have purged thee, and thou wast not purged. Thou shalt not be purged from thy filthiness any more, till I have caused my fury to rest upon thee. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass. I will do it. I will not go back. Neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doings shall they judge thee, thus saith the Lord God. Now, what does all that mean? It's again this thing. It's the same message as the seething blood that Jesus spoke against. It's we try to take all of the filthiness and the scum that is part of the worship system of this being, us, and all of the secret things that we do internally. And God says, set it all on fire, put it in a pot. That's what the baptism of fire is. It's not so you can speak in tongues. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You must have both the baptism of fire, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the baptism of fire. The fire is to burn away the source document, the source issues of all of this learned behavior of the curse and everything else until all that is left in you is Jesus Christ, the only hope of glory. That's why all things will be shaken. That's why he'll shake everything until only that which is unshakable will remain. He can't use anything else. Now, the pot, if it's lukewarm, then it's not going to do anything. This is why, I mean, Bible study or his ministry should be a consuming fire to burn everything.
Next thing up, he's going to kill Ezekiel's wife and tell him not to mourn.
I know. Ezekiel laid up, Ezekiel had been a priest 21 years. And yet, and he, you know, he was well respected. And then God made him do all this weird stuff in Ezekiel 1. And he made him see this weird vision of the wheel within the wheels. That wasn't a helicopter, by the way. It was seeing what everything has to go except that which is him. He showed them. He had to lie on his side and eat barley cakes made with his own dung to show what Israel was doing, what Jerusalem, his city, was doing. They didn't repent. I think those words are hard. Read the words of Christ without saying that was for another dispensation. Read Matthew 23 and 24. Read what he said. And seeing that it must be applied to you. Can you see why there may be sloth in us? It's not the zeal has nothing to do with anybody else. The zeal has to do with destroying all this crap within each one of us. This need to be right, this need to have stature, this need to have esteem, this need to have, you know, to not be able to be quiet, this need to feed on some idea that you have and then get upset if that doesn't happen. The need to feed on steroid-filled guys in tight pants.
Yeah, I'm sick of that.
Are you
talking about Dancing with the Stars?
Well, I don't know, but that was not what I was talking about. Am I communicating to anybody?
No, this is Mossville, man.
The iniquity shall not be purged until you die. Now, it's not that you're trying to die. It's simply seeing that all these value systems and little aims and ambitions and deals that you have going on in your mind are all bullshit.
Let's think about this thing with Harry talking about. The way you're laying this out almost is like God made a whole lot of mistakes. And yet I'm seeing that all of the first part is like manure for the second part, because through everything that seems right and wrong and crazy, that's what is used to reveal perfect love.
Well, it's always his mercy that is continuing. His long suffering we account as salvation, because my God, this night of the last day has been now going on for 2,000 years. Talk about mercy. And then we keep adding new crap. We get seduced by what the world is doing. It doesn't matter what the world's doing. But again, the subtlety of the test is getting greater and greater. Here, anyway, in America, because we're not punished for faith here. You're almost rewarded for it, which is just goofy. Just hear these words of Paul real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are always unto God the savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. You cannot ever, ever again, you cannot leave that place of the cross. You cannot leave that place. You can never again trust yourself to give any credence to yourself. That's the mystery. That's simple faith. But you think that, well, if I have the faith, I will die. If you don't have the faith, you will never see that you're already dead. Because you'll keep changing and jumping through loops. And you can go through the whole history of Israel, and you'll see all of the tricks that you do. Oh, you don't understand. I've got this and that. No, I understand. Oh, but you don't understand. This and that happened to me. Yes, I do. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not new in, like a new in time, it's a new in everything. It's not anything about there's no reference to this past thing anymore. You can't have any reference to self in regard to any response to a stimulus that happens to you in the future. And any reference to self is an attempt, it's simply elevating. And this is why, you've heard me make fun of Harry for 1,000 years about, well, this reminds me of Paris, or this reminds me of this, or this reminds me of that. But this is the same thing as if you automatically go to some base of reference that is not the rock as the basis for an action, then you've committed apostasy and you've fallen from faith.
So I was getting this image of a building that's been constructed and the foundation is off, so everything else is off.
Right.
Attempt to fix it.
That's exactly right. And we can't use anymore all of the remember, I've got to do a lot of exercises on a ball now, there's a million, you try to do the simplest thing when you're doing it, and you're just trying to sit, you can't use any of those references anymore. Because if you use any of those references for your response or anything, then you return to sloth. And the building decayeth.
It's like using scum to guide your life.
Well, that's Yeah, scum here. It's vomit in the one we looked to the other place. It's dung in another place. That's what's feeding you. What? What? What?
I was just a few minutes ago. I was going to say this reminds me of what a jerk you are. You were saying how you always tease me about this reminds me of Paris. This reminds me of that. This reminds.
So this reminds you of what a jerk I am.
Yeah. But see that I should have said it 5 minutes ago. Would have been impolite.
Would have been a lot of fun.
Would have been impolite. Yeah. I was enjoying it. I thought it was very fun.
These things like in Isaiah where it, you know, says you have to die, they're like sprinkled all the way through the Old Testament. Even though they're telling to do all this stuff, there's always this thing that pops up. It's like,
die.
Oh, well, you know, the only way out of this is to die, you know, and that's the secret. You know, the mystery is there.
Yeah, I mean, it began with Cain, and it never stops. It's always... His mercy is always right next to you, but you have to die. Oh no, Jesus made this little pathway for you to cross so you don't have to die. He died for you, no? Well, he died instead of you. He suffered instead of you, but you died with him. Oh, but now, no, you don't understand. Now my mind is sanctified, so anything that I think, that's what God wants. Yeah, right. You and Ted Haggard. Take it, big guy.